Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders who share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite athletes to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe to The Rundown. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You know, it's a life-changing event for them. And if you help them out through that, you know, and sometimes your help is just like small suggestions and just like being like constantly there and being like disciplined. And in a few months, you know, the person is like a totally different person.
On this episode of The Rundown, I spoke with run coach, CrossFit trainer, and community leader, Raul Bugueño. He talks about how a career change opened up the possibilities for him in the world of health and wellness. And in the spirit of winter, we go in depth on ways you can enjoy running, even during the cold winter months. He's a smart guy who loves to help people reach their goals, and he's even got a few of his own. This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. If you're looking for a friendly, fun, and positive run club to join, this group is for you. They meet every Monday at 7 p.m. on the base of Mount Royal. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. Keep track and visit their website, iamarunner.ca, and be sure to follow them on Instagram for more details at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Instead of the news this week, we're going to talk about how runners can get ahead this holiday season. In fact, there's no better time to pick up new run gear than after Christmas. Living in Montreal, we all face the elements, so you need to be prepared for almost anything. So I'd like to share with you my top three Boxing Day buys. Number one is definitely a pair of arm warmers. These are great for winter, but also leading into or out of the cold winter months. They're amazing for controlling body temperature because you can easily slide them up, down, or remove them altogether. Number two would be thicker socks. I love the way my shoes fit, so doubling up is tough for me. But having a pair of heavier socks can make all the difference. It's also important to keep moving because standing in minus 20 degree weather is never a good idea. And lastly, I'd say treat yourself. Get a new race singlet or a nice pair of shorts. Training outside in the winter can be challenging mentally. It's all about staying motivated. So sometimes thinking about an upcoming race or what gear you're going to wear when it gets warmer can do just that. If you feel like running into the new year, here's your chance. Start off on the right foot with the annual WRG Run and Brunch, taking place on Tuesday, January 1st at 11 a.m. You'll have the option to run a 5 or 10K. Either way, we'll all eat afterwards. Stay tuned for more details by following on Instagram at WRG Runs. I'd like to wish you all a happy and safe holidays. Gotta run. Community leader, instructor for SUP Fitness, trainer at CrossFit, I'm happy to have here with us today, Raul. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, welcome to The Rundown. Yeah, we've known each other for a few years now, maybe 3 years about, I think.
Yeah, about.
And always known you just like in the community, runner, CrossFit, doing like boot camps, all that stuff. When did that all get started for you?
I guess I was always like very active,
yeah,
and playing a lot of different sports. But I would say like more seriously, the last two years, I really like made it, I guess, my work and my life. So I started like coaching seriously, like in 2016. And at the beginning, it was like, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do that like full time. But yeah, now that's what I'm doing.
And what were you doing before that?
I was in a totally different area. So I worked in the R&D department of a speech recognition company. And yeah, I worked there for more than 10 years. I actually studied like computational linguistics. Okay. So that was like at university. So that's mainly the degree I got there. And then I started to work for that company. And, you know, it was good. It was like a very challenging job. The only thing was that, you know, you work very remote with your team. So like my main team, I was in a team, like I would say of three for a lot of years. One of my colleagues was in Boston. The other one was in Germany. And basically we would never see each other.
Okay.
So, I mean, the company changed and everything. And in 2015, you know, I lost my job. And when you've been working for more than 10 years, you know, you find yourself in another situation. It's not the same like job market and just like connecting with companies had become very different. Like social media was like totally different and myself, I was different. So, and I took it like as an opportunity to try like something else. Like all the skills that you already acquired and the experience, I mean, you won't lose that. So I was already like into sports and into coaching, but it wasn't like a main job for me. It was more like as a hobby. So then I tried to make that hobby my job. And so now I coach CrossFit 5 times a week and I lead the run club 2x a week and I join a lot of different run clubs and I try to be like pretty involved in community. Like I guess in the last year, has been like the thing that I found more rewarding. And just like meeting a lot of people, connecting, finding like creating like authentic relationships and friendships throughout sport and throughout everything related to that. It has made me like a better coach, a better athlete. And like made a lot of new friends.
Cool. And was that so essentially maybe a blessing in disguise, losing your job and then kind of put your feet to the fire, like they say, to try something new, to try something different than what you were used to, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I always tried to challenge myself. I mean, when I was in the other job, the challenges were just different. Now the challenges, I would say a lot of them are like more community-based and more like sport-specific. But before, when I was like in research and development, challenges were just like, they were just different challenges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes people think it's like, oh, you must be much happier now. So I go, I was pretty happy before too. Like I had like a high paying job and, you know, but, you know, maybe I didn't like now, like every day is like, okay, I have a lot more time to sleep and to take care of myself and like to really like think about my nutrition and think about like every day, like, I'm thinking about the training routines for myself and for others. Mm. And I love like seeing others improve. I love that. And it's, I didn't think it was like, it's going to be like so gratifying to not just see somebody improve, but for them to realize that they're improving and that you help them through that. And sometimes you basically change their lives, you know? Mm-hmm. Like somebody that that let's say they have a weight loss of like 40 pounds or something like that, you know, it's a life-changing event for them. And if you help them out through that, you know, and sometimes your help is just like small suggestions and just like being like constantly there and being like disciplined, and in a few months, you know, the person is like a totally different person. Mm-hmm. And once you can like move better, and or you have like no more pain, let's say you had like a pain for like years and now you don't have it anymore, like more things become a lot more accessible to you. Mm-hmm. And so it reminds me like one of the clients, like at one point that I had, like we were talking about running, and we're actually talking about like ultra running and like long distance running and all of that. And it's difficult when you like you've like she says, ah, like I could never run like 100 kilometers. We were talking about what's the name of the guy that does like that did like 7 marathons in like in 7 continents or something like that. Do you remember that?
Is he like an old school runner?
He did this like recently. He did like was it 5 marathons and
yeah,
five.
I did hear about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a story like that.
Yeah.
And she was really impressed by that. And she goes, ah, I could never do that.
That's what I say too, for the record.
Huh?
That's what I say too, for the record.
That you could never do that?
100, like I can't even compute it right now. 100 miles, 100 kilometers. Like people tell me they do it and I'm like, wow. Yeah. Like I'm in awe of the people that can do that. Like,
yeah, of course.
It's... like I've done ultra marathons before. I've done one ultra marathon before, yeah. But like 100 is like, it's a lot, you know? It's
yeah.
Like Sam Trudell, the guy runs like...
Oh, it's not like 100 marathons. The guy did like 7 marathons in 7 days in yeah. 7 different Content. Locations okay. or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's not that important. Like the important thing is like that person was very impressed by the distance. But it's like for that person, for that guy that actually did like those 7 marathons, you know, yes, it's a challenge, but I'm sure it's not that big of a challenge in the sense that, let's say you remove him from that 7 continent thing, that guy probably runs like almost like a marathon a day anyways.
Yeah.
So he's already doing that.
Yeah.
So now he's just doing it like in a more like media-sized way, but it's probably already like his training or something like that.
Right.
So I'm just saying like, you know, like for him, like when you look at the big challenge.
I was actually looking up the guy
yeah.
today, Dave McGilvray.
Yeah.
That's him.
Yeah.
So in this article, it says that he raced his first marathon at 18. He ran across the country at 23. He completed his first Ironman at 26. And he says last January, he knocked off 7 marathons in 7 continents over the course of 7 days.
Yeah.
In a world marathon challenge. And he actually, he said he's back running after a triple bypass heart surgery. So that just like that kind of just happened to the guy. So, which is crazy, but it's funny you bring it up because I was literally just yeah, like, yeah. That's pretty interesting. But yeah. Yeah, back to what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it's not impressive. I'm just saying
in perspective,
like, like he built up to that mm-hmm. and now he's at that point and next year he'll be like, it'll be something bigger than this, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like that for everybody. Mm-hmm. So basically I just wanted like that client to realize that you know it's not that far of a goal if you're like consistent and you work on it, and if it's actually your goal, you know, eventually you're gonna achieve it, you know.
It's all possible.
Yeah,
everything,
exactly.
And everything's relative.
Yeah.
you know, because just because you know someone runs a marathon or someone runs a 5K, the difficulty is there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for them, the 5K is the marathon.
Yeah.
The effort that they're putting in, the pain that they're going through, I believe that. You know, it's I started running. I did a charity 10K. It freaking hurt. You know.
Yeah.
But looking back, it's like, okay, it wasn't that much, but back then it was like, no, that's a huge mountain to climb. You know, it's a big thing. So it's interesting that you bring that up, and it's kind of cool that you get to see similar things every day, you know,
but yeah,
through the coaching.
And if you're always pushing, I mean, it's always going to be like, I guess, uncomfortable. It has to be, you know, like maybe the first 5K that you do, it takes you 30 minutes. And man, it's hard. It's hard. And now maybe like, I don't know, 5 years later, you run a 5K, but you do it in less than 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it's still hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you're running faster, but and you're doing the same distance, but it might be, you know, it's not going to be easier. You're getting faster. You're getting better. So you need to make the challenge more difficult and to your capacity.
Right.
So I like that. And you know what? Like, this year, a lot of people are surprised sometimes by my age when I tell them my age. So now I'm 41.
Okay.
Yeah. I will be like 42 in 2019.
Okay.
And running is weird because it's like, and even other sports now that I've been doing, like in the last like 2-3 years, I've been improving a lot. And at first I had like, this, I don't know if it's a misconception, but I thought that I would get like slower, getting older with age. And actually, I'm getting a lot faster and a lot stronger, and just because like I'm applying myself more and focusing more on the sport, and it's not just me. Like I participate to a lot of events and I meet a lot of like athletes, and I realize, hey, it's a lot of people like that, you know, that are improving with age. And like sometimes I see like guys that are like 50 and wow, they impress me.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I think it's the level of dedication that goes into it.
You know? Yeah.
Like when I was, you know, in my 20s, I didn't run that. I played soccer and stuff, you know,
but yeah,
I didn't train like I train now.
Yeah.
For my stuff. And the results are way different. You know, if you want to improve, you have to apply, you have to train, you have to
put in the time,
eat well,
rest,
yeah,
and everything. Yeah. All of that is like very important.
And it's like a vicious cycle where, or it's like a progression, I guess you could say, because the more you do, the more you want to do better, the more you want to eat healthier, the more you like, it just keeps going and going, you know?
Yeah.
So I always find that pretty interesting. What came first for you? Was it the weightlifting and sport, or was it the running?
It was more, I guess, when I was younger, I was like into soccer.
Yeah. You're from Chile?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I played that a lot. And then I got into weightlifting a lot. And so I think naturally I'm pretty strong. So... anything that you're naturally, like physically gifted at, you tend to lean towards the sport that are related to that. So like guys that are fast naturally, like you see them like play soccer or play like any sport. Well, like running, mm-hmm, will give you an edge. But then at one point, like a few years ago, actually, one of my goals was like, I had like really specific like weightlifting goal. And then at one point, I just like started to do like too much running. And like those goals were like no longer achievable because, you know, because of the running
that I was doing. Counterintuitive.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't feel. But at the same time, it was like, okay, you know, I'm strong enough. So
I can back off.
Yeah, I can back off from that. You know, I don't need to like deadlift 500 pounds, or, you know.
Monster.
If I can deadlift 450, is okay.
The 50 won't be any, yeah. Won't do anything more.
I would still like to do that, you know. It's like when you do like weightlifting, there's like, I guess it's like a little bit like running. There's like different, you know, when you achieve a specific benchmark, you have like the club of that. So it's like the club of like deadlifting 500 or whatever, you know. And
that's crazy. I can't imagine doing that. But yeah. It's like everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then how did the running kick in? Like where did you start going into the running more and more? And
I just started like I like doing stuff that like in sports that I have never tried before, and yeah, and usually like that scare me a bit, like I'm not sure if I'll be able to do it or whatever, so. And so, yeah, so I just started signing up, like, to runs.
Like races or?
Yeah, races. Okay. Yeah. And actually, the first year that I started running, I started with another friend. And we just, like, got into, like, obstacle races.
Spartan.
Yeah, and we did, like, a ton of that. And then we got into, like, triathlons. Okay. And we did that a lot. For 2 years, like we were doing a lot of that, and then I just kept the running part, and he continued in triathlon, and he did like like Ironmans and all of that, and so it was cool. It was like you know, I connected more with running. Triathlon, the only thing I don't like is the biking portion. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I didn't have the money to invest in a really, really good bike. And I didn't like other triathletes that had like better time than me just because they had the better equipment than me. And running, I like it because running, you know, if somebody's faster than you, it's not his shoes that is going to make the difference, you know.
No, you're right.
It's because he's actually faster than you.
Yeah.
Or you're faster than them. So I like that, you know. It's not...
They say that's where the triathlons are won.
Yeah.
It's on your feet, you know. There's a bike. I mean, you need the engine still.
Yeah.
To be able to push the machine. But I get what you're saying with the bike. If you're like on a mountain bike or something, yeah. And someone's got a tri bike, it's can be challenging to face those people, you know. But
yeah.
Once you get on the road... That's where all bets are off, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If you can't run and you're behind those people, you can pass a lot of bodies for sure. So quit the triathlon and then you just went into running. So how long have you been running for?
I've been taking sports seriously, I guess, since 2012, like CrossFit and running and a lot of like that. So yeah, I would say like since 2012. I've been like, you know, it's been like a huge part of my life. Yeah.
Cool. And are you coaching running as well?
Yeah. I mean, in the run, like in the run club that I lead, I lead it like I was coaching a club. So I think about it a lot like that. So, but I... You know, it is community run, so sometimes I'll organize like workouts that will be like more like a training, and other times it's gonna be like just like a casual run. But every time that I see like an opportunity for coaching, I coach.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if I see somebody that's that needs help and that really like you know. is not running well because of their form, their posture, you know, I take time to like do a drill. Maybe I don't do it right away, but if I realize, okay, there's a consistent group and at least like three or four people are like, you know, they're having issues. Like on the next run, I'll do like, we'll do a drill. We'll do a drill where, I don't know, we work on the stride, we work on breathing, we work on something that I think will help them. And yeah.
Cool.
So I guess that's the way that I do it for that. And, you know, I've had other, like, I like testing a lot. So, you know, and seeing how people react. So last year, had created an actual program, like a run program, and to get people running like a 10K or half marathon. And we really followed it, you know. And anybody that followed it, I found like they really improved. So it was good for that. Yeah.
So you offered that to the people in the run club?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long has that run club been going?
Since 2017.
Myland.
Yeah, Myland Miles. Yeah.
Cool. Good name.
Yeah.
So you were offering this program like essentially for free?
Yeah.
And you run how many times a week?
Twice a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're getting people at both on both runs?
Like, yeah. I mean, twice a week wasn't enough. So we were doing like twice a week, and basically the community run became like a training session for the program. And I was giving like extra like homework to do.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
So depending on your level, like the homework was different.
Cool. But it was consistent and...
Yeah, consistent, and there was like a progression.
Cool. Do you find that there's a drop off in the winter? Like I find it's hard for me to get out myself to train in the winter months and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people, there's a big drop off. A lot of people go, I don't run in the winter. Mm-hmm. Like for me, like I continue, but the feedback from a lot of people that I talk to is like, no, I don't want in the winter. It's too hard. Like before, like this bugged me a lot. Like maybe last year, like I was getting a lot of that. People were saying a lot of that. And so then I got the idea to organize a conference.
Okay.
Yeah. So where I wanted to get somebody that really wants a lot in the winter.
Okay.
And I wanted to that conference like a little bit to demystify the fact that, hey, running in the winter is not just for hardcore people. Like you don't need to be hardcore to run in the winter. And it's actually a lot more accessible than we think. And you just need to understand that like winter running is not summer. And so you'll need to make adjustments. But once you understand those adjustments and once you find like the adjustments that fit well for you, you know, you're going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And actually some people even like better running in the winter than in the summer. Just because it's not as warm, you know?
Yeah.
So once you make like, I think like adjustment in your nutrition, in your hydration, in your gear, so the way you dress, the shoes, and in your training, and you know, and there, you know, sometimes it's not like big adjustments, it's just like understanding the adjustments and just applying them, and you're good.
Yeah it's great. That you did, were you the one that did the conference, or you
no, I organized it.
Okay.
So it was a conference that we did last year, and it was Alistair Gardner. He works with Exact Nutrition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
what's Exact Nutrition for those people that don't know?
Exact Nutrition is like a company that produces like bars and just nutritions for like sport endurance, so gels and all of that. And he's one of the ambassadors, and he's also like an ambassador for like Salomon. So, and he was also a coach also for like trail running and all of that. And actually he's been like very like media size in the last year. Like he had a very like good year this year and all the events that he ran.
Okay.
So it's fun for that, you know? And so he did like a conference where he spoke about that, all of that. And you know what I liked about him was like I wanted, like conferences are like that or can be like very difficult because they can be like super boring if the person is boring. Like if the person just like talks and gives the information, you're not gonna like remember anything.
Yeah.
The takeaway will be very small, but he's a very engaging and when we do conference, I think the best feedback that I have always for people that do conferences that I organize is I tell them, okay, if somebody wants to ask a question, you let them ask the question. And it needs to be like more like a discussion than just somebody talking up front and people listening, because that won't work. And people like that. And sometimes, you know, what I find in conferences, it's like people that are in the public are very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And sometimes they might have like something like really on point and that everybody is going to take advantage of. And you might have like a expert like in the public. You don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll give like an extra information, and maybe that's the thing that you bring home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From and that guy that asked
the... Yeah, exactly. That asked the question. Yeah. So,
so what were some of the things that he was talking about?
So he was talking about all of that, like I said, like nutrition and about hydration. So
go ahead.
So one of the things I think in winter that we forget is like hydrating.
Because we're not sweating.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're not sweating, but that's like...
Seems silly.
Yeah, it seems silly, but we have to be careful with that. Of course, we're not going to hydrate as much as we were like at 40 degrees in the summertime, but it's still very important. Otherwise, you're going to get like a lot of like muscle soreness and you're going to feel like way too tight. And so just like hydrating well in any sport, not just in running, you know, it's going to help a lot.
It reminds me of like, you know, hockey kind of, you know, we tend not to drink. I play hockey, but tend not to drink too much.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's kind of cold in the rink and stuff like that. It's definitely something you have to think about, remind yourself to do it, because even in races, like Toronto was pretty cold.
Yeah.
This past October. But every station I took water, I just kept drinking because I knew I needed it.
Yeah.
I was, even though, you know, it was cold and I wasn't sweating as much as I thought then, but I still need to hydrate. So that's a good point you bring up.
Yeah. And, well, nutrition is important too. You're going to have to, stock up a little bit more. Gear wise,
stock up, you mean like bulk up or
no? I'm just you know, you're
to protect yourself from the cold.
No, not to protect yourself, but I'm just saying you're running in the cold. You know, you're draining a lot more energy that you would like or draining energy like differently that you would in the summertime. So you need to be like aware of that, similar to like hydration.
Because your body's fighting to stay warm.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, so we talked about that. So that was one of the main topics. The other one is like how to dress. So using like a multi-layer system. And that will be like very different for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like it depends. Like some people, like they wear like two layers. Usually you want basically like three layers. Like a base layer, like a second layer that keeps you warm, and then a third layer to like to stop the wind, or
like a shell.
Yeah, like a shell, or you know, to maybe stop the snow.
Like I'll switch it up, depends on the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I'll wear like more of a like a sweatshirt or like cotton on top.
Yeah.
If it's not windy.
Yeah.
And then if it's windy, I go to a windbreaker, and because the wind can get you, you know, like it can get quite cold if
yeah, yeah, exactly. And it always depends also like on the type of run that you're going to do. Like if you're going out, like sometimes I dress a little bit more when I know that, okay, I'll be going out with this group and we're not going to go that fast. So we might be stopping a lot and all of that. So I dress a little bit more warmly. When I'm in with other groups where I know, okay, we're all going to be like at good speed, good tempo, and we won't be stopping too much, and we might even hit a lot of hills, then I will dress probably lighter so that I'm more comfortable. So just like understanding like where you're going to run, who you're going to be running with, the pace that you're going to go, you know, that can help you also make some adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, usually, like, I guess you get like a lot of like go-to gear. So like wintertime and even summertime, you know, I know. There are things like, you know, you get like a recipe mm-hmm. for what to wear, and you're good with that.
But you got to test it too at the same
time. Yeah, exactly.
You know, to see what works for you, like you're saying, everybody heats up differently, cools down differently. We all have a different biomechanics
yeah.
to it as well. So like for me, I usually start with like a long sleeve, and then I wear... If it's really cold, like I'd say if it's like over minus 10, I'll put another long sleeve, but with a zipper, like yeah. a half zip. And then, like I said, like the shell or like a hoodie kind of thing. And, you know, usually like gloves with fingers are okay. But like after minus 10, doesn't matter how fast I'm going. Like I need the mitts. Like
yeah.
I need, because keeping the fingers together, I find... Well, it keeps it a lot. It's a lot warmer.
Yeah.
If I have them in the fingers, like my fingers freeze, like standing alone. So anything I think over minus 10, it's kind of crazy when you talk about it. It's like our days are regularly like that, you know. But anything with the shoes that you do or
shoes? Yeah. When the snow starts and ice starts, I switch to winter shoes. So winter running shoes, and I've tried different companies, and all of them have good shoes. Like it, you know, you really need to test them out. But I think a lot of different companies like have good shoes. I've tried like 1 year, I ran with like New Balance winter shoes. They were great. Last year I ran with Asics winter shoes. They're great too. This year, I have like Saucony winter shoes, and yeah, so far they've been great too. So I think a lot of like different companies offer like good winter shoes. You just need to like be sure that they're a good fit for like your feet. And like personally, I like shoes that are like lighter. So the ones that like have like, you know, that are too heavy, you know, sometimes they're good shoes, but you know, personally, I don't prefer those ones.
I find the shoe thing the trickiest probably of all the gear to me, because I run in my everyday shoes, like my everyday running shoes.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I've never felt the need to jump to a to a specific winter shoe. Because, like, for the most part, I'm doing a lot of still road running and try and get my tempos, speed work when the roads are kind of clear. But we don't always have the luxury, so I get it. But what are some things in the winter shoe that you look for? Or what are, like, the main differences between your summer shoe and your winter shoe?
The winter shoe is going to have, like, Gore-Tex. Or it's gonna be less breathable, but it's good for when, you know, it's slushy outside. Or, you know, sometimes I'm leading the run club and I'm not too much looking where I'm stepping.
Yeah.
And I step in a big puddle.
Yeah.
So I don't want my feet to, like, be you know, all wet after, like, 5 minutes of running because I step that one time in, like, that big puddle. So winter shoes are going to protect your feet, keep them drier for that. But for sure, like, once it gets warmer, you know, or sometimes when, you know, winter time, the roads are, like, really clean and everything, I might use my summer shoes, you know, or trail shoes, or not the winter Gore-Tex with, you know, that they're geared towards that. So sometimes I might switch it up for that, but most of the time I keep them and I'm good for that.
Yeah.
I also like winter socks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Winter socks, I find that it makes a big difference. The best ones that I found were like Asics winter socks.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the best ones.
That's what they're called? Like.
Yeah.
Okay.
Asics winter socks. And usually it's tough. Like, when I see some, I buy a lot of pairs because they run out, like, pretty quickly. And they're great. You just put that pair and you don't need to be doing, like, two pairs or anything with, like, plastic bag or nothing like that. Just that, you know, I found that it keeps me warm and dry. And, yeah, they've been, like, great for that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's I never think about socks. I just wear regular stuff. I wear my regular socks, my regular shoes. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, but I usually try and, like, if I'm using my regular shoes, I just try and take shorter steps on my easy runs, like, shorten my stride a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you run the risk of, like, slipping and falling and stuff like that. I already fell once a couple weeks ago, and I fell again when we were on the mountain. See, on the mountain, that's way different. When you're running in the snow, yeah, yeah, that's a complete different story, but definitely something with more grip would have definitely helped me. I don't know if you saw. I took a...
Yeah, yeah, I saw you.
I was flying through the air. It was not graceful, that's for sure.
That's good. At least you didn't get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I ran today, so I'm feeling pretty good. Was there any other tips that he gave? Or what about, like, headwear? Like, did you talk about that?
Well, yeah, I was in the gear. You know, headwear is like... I guess it's very, like, you know, depends on the type of person that you are. And, you know, me, I like hats.
Like a toque?
Yeah. Yeah. I like those, the toque. And I like caps too, sometimes. Yeah.
It's the ears that get me. It's like, yeah, I got to cover my ears. That's the most, like, important thing. I saw Macklin running with a head warmer.
Yeah.
And Pierre does the same thing.
Yeah.
Two runners that we know in the run space, but I don't know, head warmer, if that would... For me, it's always been toque. That's
me 100%. Too. Yeah, like ear warmers, yeah, it's not for me. I don't like that. it's style too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not the...
Yeah.
The best. And always reflective, I think, is also, like, super important too. Like, because of the time change and stuff, it gets darker a lot quicker. I think it's already dark, and it's, you know, like 5 o'clock. It gets a lot darker sooner. So, like, do you focus on that portion too? Do you have generally reflective stuff when you're running?
Yeah, I mean, all the run gear that I have is reflective. So I guess I don't worry that much about it. Like, I guess I don't run with, like, non-reflective clothing.
Yeah. The cars to see you, it's super important.
Yeah, every time that I have, like, But it's just like the clothes that I choose to run with, you know, they already have that. So it's
okay.
Like,
they have it built in, kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't think about it too much. But yeah, definitely it's important. But like since I lead a lot of the runs, I'm very aware of all of that, and I'm like almost a dad sometimes. So and aware for myself, but aware for other like that are running with me as well. So,
so they see you. So you're visible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And do you ever get people that show up and you're like, what are you wearing? You know, like that they're wearing the completely wrong gear or?
Yeah, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I try to keep extra now so that I can lend them some stuff. For the reflectivity, it's not that bad. You know, we have, you know, I have like some extra like lights that, you know, we can just lend the person. But when it's like shoes and when it's like clothing, it's a little bit more difficult. Sometimes I might tell them like, okay, it's not a good idea to run, mm-hmm. you know, and just tell them to come back because I don't want anybody to get injured, you know.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you don't have like right shoes or like, you know, sometimes it's just going to slow you down a lot and it's not going to be like, or like, every step that you take, you'll be slipping. So it's not going to be like a good experience for you.
Yeah.
So it's better like just to make those adjustments and then, you know, then you'll be like much better.
Is there anything you tell people to encourage them to go out? Like, is there any like ways that you get them out or like in your coaching that you like, some people just don't like it, you know, they're runners. They need to train. They hate the treadmill. They don't know what to do, you know? Like for me, I like try and run in groups, like your run club, like the one we have.
Yeah. Running in groups. It's fun.
Yeah.
And the way I think about it is like, I guess people need to forget that they're running outdoors. Mm-hmm. And they need to, like, you try to make them focus more on the fact that they were the group and they're, like, meeting new people and they're actually, like, having fun. And once they're able to do that, then an hour later, they ran 10K and they didn't even notice that they ran 10K. So I think it's, like, the group effect, it makes a big difference on what you'll be able to do or not, you know.
And having like bagels and stuff after your run also helps.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like having some sort of reward for yourself and for your friends. And yeah, sometimes the reward can just be like meeting up with your friend that you haven't seen for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or so that's, you know, for me, that's very enjoyable, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you is with your CrossFit background, do you, like, I know the importance of cross training. Is that something also that you, I know you do like the workouts and stuff, drills and stuff, but is that, like within your run club, but is that something you implement on a regular basis?
Yes, I do. In winter time, I guess not that much because it's pretty cold. So we try to... I try to always like keep people participant in movement. In summertime, we're going to do a lot of cross training, especially when we get like big groups. So when you get a big group, that's like a strategy so that people that are more advanced, they can push a little bit more in the training and people that are, I guess, less advanced, they can, you know, take it a little bit easier, but everybody stays like in a group. So you could do like, for example, you have like a 1 hour training session, and in that 1 hour you might go like, you spend like maybe 20-25 minutes in a park. Mm. and you do like some sort of like body weight movements plus running. I always try to, like, people come to run, so the main part you know, even if I include some type of like body weight movement, like burpee or push-up, I try to keep it very small portion. And the main portion is the running. So maybe you do like 80% running and like 20% like body weight movements. And this will allow like more advanced runner to do more, and less advanced people to do a little bit less. And also, you know, it's important. Like, I'm very surprised sometimes at like, wow, how little upper body strength some runners have. Mm-hmm. It's like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And even like, not just upper body, but just like mobility wise. So, and for me, it helps me also to understand who's running with me and what kind of skills that they have too. Like, and maybe like trying for them like to improve on that, or maybe suggesting them like other types of training outside of the running that they could do that might improve not just their running but like their overall like performance.
Is there any that you can suggest to us right now?
For
just like that will improve their performance, like other activities that they could do. Like, is it, I found swimming was really like helpful, and
Yoga is a good one. So any type of like training session that where you concentrate on like mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be like Pilates, it can be yoga, it can be you know, any type of like soft activity like that can help you like in your recovery and just in your mobility, and yeah, loosen up the muscles so that you're not as tight on your next run. Yeah, so I would say those are very good. Yeah, it doesn't need to be like usually like the stretching. There are a lot of people that are like fan of stretching right after the run or after the training. Personally, I don't do it that much. I like to keep the stretching like separate. So I do it just in another occasion. I try to do at least like 1 hour a week where I'm just concentrating on that stretching. And then maybe other times in the week where I might do like small, like 10 to 15 minute routines of stretch. Yeah, for me, it's good.
Cool. And I know you were also talking about the, like another good way to train. I mean, winter running is an acquired taste, I guess. You got to get used to it.
Yeah.
But to improve, like there's opportunities to do some of that inside too. And you were talking about, some track training.
That
you were doing, at McGill University, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I started in November. So I had this goal of becoming faster.
So what are you at now? It's the 5K that you're after, right?
I guess I want to improve on 5K and I want to improve on half marathon. So those are, I guess, two distances that I've targeted for next year and that I really want to improve on. So... so for the specifically for the 5K, I've been since November starting with this group called the Lab Run Squad. So they're part of like BART coaching.
Okay.
And basically it's like the a lot of triathletes, and Lab Run Squad is like the run portion of that group. But they're all part of BART coaching, and so we started that 2 times a week. We train at McGill track indoors on 200 meter track. We do Tuesday evening and we do Thursday morning, and people can come to either like both or one of the 2 days, or they can just do drop-ins too. So me personally, I took like unlimited. So I go like twice a week, and it's fun. Like I've really seen like an improvement, and I actually like we were talking about gear, And I started to experiment with gear too, there on the track. So I bought my first pair of spikes.
Nice.
So, and you know, at first when you buy gear like that, it's like, okay, is it really going to make a difference? Like, and I go, okay, I'll try it out, you know. And I tried, you know, just like an entry level spike, you know, nothing like too fancy. And yeah, it made a huge difference. Yeah, it made a huge difference. And I guess the more and more I'll be using it, I think the more I'll improve also with that. So I'm glad that I purchased that. I invested in that. And, you know, yeah.
Where did you get that idea? You did some research, you saw some other people with it on, or?
Yeah, I guess I didn't see a lot of people like wearing spikes at the training, like none of the people that were training with me. But I asked a coach, I asked him, like, because I was interested in like maybe participating in a track meet, and he mentioned that he said, oh, you're probably going to need to like invest in spikes. So we started like a discussion around that. and then I just bought some.
Cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, and even like the store where I bought, like I had a big discussion with the person that sold me the spikes, and you try a few of them. And, you know, I bought the ones that I felt the most comfortable with. And I had used spikes before, but just not like specific for like track training, like for soccer or for like rugby. And, you know, but those spikes, I guess they have like a different goal. And so, yeah, but on the first training that I used them, in the first 100 meters that I did, I saw the difference that it made. Like every stride that you take, it's like your propulsion is much higher. You must be careful, like to, you know, and it forces you to have like good technique too. Like you can't be landing on your heel, otherwise you're gonna get hurt. So I like that, the fact that, you know, it forces you to, you know, run properly.
Yeah, but it's more minimalist in a sense, right?
Yeah.
So naturally you want to fall on the balls of your feet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so I like experimenting with that. And, you know, that's a good investment. I would suggest it to anybody that, you know, wants to take like track training seriously. Of course, you alternate with like...
Regular shoes.
Like, for example, like you don't do your whole training with spikes. You would do like warm up with your regular shoes, and then like maybe just your main workout with the spikes.
Cool. Yeah, and that helps. I found it helped break up winter for me too. Going to the track once a week, twice a week, it's a nice treat, you know. It's fun to go in and work on your speed and get a little bit more technical. And
yeah, it's fun to run fast. Yeah, I like it.
You're back in shorts and a tank top, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, it is fun to run fast, and like, I mean, you're going around in circles, mind you, but
yeah,
it's still really, it's different than what you're used to. The long runs, the tempos outside, it's good to switch it up.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, like another thing that I like to do, I know you do it too, is to get on Strava and just see what all the other, we're going to say that they're not crazy. It's normal to run outside too. You just got to dress properly, right? Yeah. But what everyone else is doing, it helps motivate me to get out of the house too, to know that somebody else went out and did their, you know, their long run, or like went out and ran 5 times this week and stuff. That's what keeps me going. But you have something interesting going on with Strava come January, right?
Yeah, exactly. So in Strava... So every year, like Lululemon organizes this challenge through the Strava application. So it's called Strava 4080.
And you're working with Lululemon.
Yeah,
too,
so. I work for Lululemon. And so this challenge every year is in January. It's like 2 weeks where, you know, Lululemon challenge you to run either 40 or 80 kilometers within those 2 weeks. So it's a good challenge. And it's a challenge that goes on around the world. So people like in Florida and Australia running, like a lot of people are doing it. And, you know, I don't remember exactly the number of kilometers that people add up. But if you add up like all the participants and all the kilometers, you know, within those 2 weeks, it's a lot, you know. So, you know, I like numbers like that. Mm-hmm. And I like analyzing numbers from like how, if they have improved or not. And just within that challenge, like if you look at last year and you look like 2 years ago, you're going to see a huge improvement. And in participation, so more participant, but a lot more kilometers. So I like that, you know. It's like people are, you know, you see that it's working. So this year we're doing that again. But I was thinking about that challenge, and every year I get really into it.
Like I can tell.
Yeah, I do it, and I look at the leaderboard. I love leaderboards. I think that's the CrossFit part of me, like looking at leaderboards and like you compare yourself to other people. But here I'm comparing myself. You know, I don't care too much about the people running in Australia. I care about people running here in the community in Montreal. And I care about other people that I know. Mm-hmm. I go, Justin, he ran today. he's like 5K more than me.
So, minus 20.
Yeah, exactly. So I go, I have to get out there.
Yeah.
I have to run, like he ran, I have to run. Mm-hmm. And you know what makes me happy is when somebody that's very close to me in the leaderboard and they take a rest day. They go, yes. When they take a rest day, it's like your opportunity to like totally like leave them in the dust.
Yeah, exactly. Until you take your rest day.
Yeah, exactly. So... But personally, like every year, I've been using this challenge as a personal challenge as well. So my goal has always been, since the first year I started, to do 10% more than the previous year. So I've been doing that for like 2 years. So always 10%. So this year, last year, my 10%, my goal was like, I think 135. And I finished a little bit more than 135 kilometers. And so this year, when I started to think about the challenge, I calculated, okay, this year I need to do like 150 and to like do that 10% more. And then I started to think a little bit more about the challenge. I go, wow, like 150 is a lot more than like the 80 that their challenge. Mm-hmm. Jing,
and this is for the
do.
For the month.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's for 2 weeks.
Oh, for 2 weeks.
Yeah, for 2 weeks.
Okay, but and anybody can do it.
Yeah, right. Anybody can do it.
Okay,
but then I thought, there seems to be like something missing from this challenge, and so I found like two things were like totally missing from. Well, two things I found that were missing for this challenge, and if like we would add these things, it would make it a lot better, like a more complete challenge. So one thing. Is what was like a more challenging distance. So like a third distance where you would like go, like the person that would complete that, like it would be like, wow, like elite runners, you know? it would be like, you know, almost scary distance, mm-hmm. Okay? So I like that. So we're doing that this year in this region.
So what distance will that be?
Haven't identified exactly, but it will be, I think, like 160K or something like that. Okay. I'm hesitating between like 160 and 200, you know, mm-hmm. Like a good distance where, you know, even if you're advanced, you know, it's going to take you like, you're going to have to dedicate a lot of time in mm-hmm. those 2 weeks. And you're going to be focused on that goal, you know. But if you achieve it, you're going to be, like, very happy. A lot like another, like, challenge that happens in January is, like, the January Ballo. So there are a lot of like different run crews across the world. They do it, and so it's a similar thing. But instead of being just a 2-week challenge, it's like the whole month of January. Basically, your run crew runs as many kilometers as you can, and the top 5 people from your run crew, you know, those kilometers are added up, and you're compared across different run crews. So I like that a lot. So that was one of the things that I found like was missing from the challenging. So from that challenge was like a bigger distance, something that like more advanced runner would really like take at heart and be able to complete, but you know, to make it difficult for them to complete. The second thing that I found was, I guess, lacking was like a community, a more like a community aspect. And so I started to think about that. And, you know, what I didn't like is like putting different run crews against each other. So I didn't like that idea. What I liked is that putting everybody together. And
all the run crews.
Run crews. In one team.
Or all, the whole community. The whole run community.
Yeah, the whole run community. I go, how can we put that together? And so I thought that we could do it through like a city group. So basically you would have like the leaderboard, like individual leaderboard, and then there would be like a second leaderboard where you would be, it would be the different cities. So basically, you're running for yourself, but you're also running for your city. And that, I felt it was like more healthy. Like if you compare, like it becomes like more of a city battle. Like I felt that that's more healthy than doing like, you know, run crew battle, you know, just the fact that it was bigger, I felt it was like more like enjoyable.
I think so.
And yeah. It was like... you know, yes, competitive, but it wasn't as like, you know, I just found it like more healthy. And I think like people could get like really into it. And like a lot of different sport, like a good like rivalry could be built up, and you can like really like do a lot of interesting things like through social media also and all of that. So I think that was like a good thing to add. And yeah, I think it's going to be like super fun to do that.
Which cities are involved?
So currently in this battle idea, it's 3 cities. So Montreal, Quebec City, and Ottawa.
Okay.
And so these are cities where we already like started like a good connection to different run clubs. And it'll be like easier to enroll them and to motivate like runners and just to be able to play with this challenge.
For sure.
But other cities are more than welcome to join. Like the goal is to, we have this process of enrollment, and that's actually pretty, you know, easy to enroll. So if other cities want to, like, let's say like Winnipeg, they hear about that we're doing this, and they go, "Hey, we want to do this too. How do we join up?" Well, they will give them, the procedure of how to do that, and yeah, we'll have a 4th city.
Cool.
But currently, we have like these 3 cities, and if others want to add on, we'll add them on, and like maybe like next year, if this grows, we'll have multiple cities across Canada.
That'd be so really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when does that start?
In January. Yeah. It'll be the two last, usually it's like the 2 last weeks of January. So okay. Like mid-January to end of January.
Okay. So still have a few weeks to get warmed up. So that's
cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you can run by yourself, or usually like we have a lot of different activations across the city in different run crews. Where you can join and just, you know, do some kilometers there.
For sure. Yeah, we're running still Mondays on the mountain at 7 p.m. And Yama Joe runs in Little Burgundy on Wednesdays and on Saturdays as well. When do you guys run?
We do Thursday evening, and we do Sunday morning.
Okay, cool. So it kind of gives a nice little range. Run Right also is on Thursday night.
Yeah.
But in different...
Different parts, location.
Parts of the city, yeah. So you guys are doing it out of the
local. The Milan, yeah.
In the plateau, and then Run Right is in NDG, so... And what about you? What are your... you have any, like, New Year's resolutions or any big goals for... any big races coming up for 2019?
2019?
Yeah.
You mean the whole year?
Well, I mean, I saw you posted something. I know you're trying to get faster, but sub 19 on a 5K. So I thought that was pretty pretty good.
Like this year, I did like Parc La Fontaine.
Yeah.
So I'll do that one next year for sure. Mm-hmm. Just so that, you know, I can compare the same like route and get an accurate like comparison. But... Yeah, aside from that, I'll probably do like a half marathon again, the Montreal half marathon. So I like that one too.
Okay.
And
is that May? May? That one?
Yeah.
May.
And I'll probably do my first ultra, like official ultra race. So I have some friends. I don't know if you've done this one before, but there is one like in Gaspésie.
Okay.
In June. So mid-June.
Is that the one Pierre did? Last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. But this year they added like a new thing. It's like a 3-day, 3 stages. So I like that. And we're trying to create a team. A team. A group to go there. And again, it's a group using like contacts from these 3 cities.
Okay.
So the Ottawa, Quebec City, and Montreal. So trying to get like runners from each of the cities to go there. And what I like about that challenge is like a 3-day, 100 kilometers in 3 days.
So you split it up.
Yeah, you split it up. And you get to know a lot of like Gaspésie. And you do like of a trail running there. And so you got a lot of different views. And what I like about the 3 days, it makes it like very accessible for anybody to join in. So for example, you could do like, so day one, I think is like the shortest distance. It's like 12K. And then day two is the big day. It's like 55. And then you, in the third day is like 35, something like that. So like you could do the day one and day three.
Oh, so it's...
You don't have to do like the whole 100.
Okay.
You know? You could do day one, day three. You could do day one. You could do day three. You know, you could do like just a 55. So like you choose. So
do you have to choose on the spot or do you have to choose before? Like, can you change your mind after day one if you want to run day two?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Okay. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. You can change your mind. And, you know, if you're not participating, you can like cheer on others that are, you know, there. And I mean, even if you do like 2 of the days, you're still going to be running like a good distance. And we're working on getting people to do that, and me personally, I will do it.
Awesome too. That's really cool. And you also mentioned to me earlier that you have some kind of workshops happening as well, right, for January, like as a follow-up to the one you did in December. Just with like mental strength and all that stuff?
So we have, we work with a lot of different collaborators. And last year, actually, we experimented a lot with like meditation. Like meditation for at least like 2 months. 2 months, it was a big part of like the activities that we organized. And a lot of the runners, they like that. You know, it's always difficult when you have activities like that. Like, athletes are very like, okay, is it going to help me? Like, how is it going to help me? Like, if you're not running, how is an activity that's not running going to help me run faster?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's tough. And me for myself as well, you know, I like to try it out to understand. And this year we've been experimenting not too much with meditation, but something very similar, mindfulness.
Okay.
So, like mental skills training, and basically it's like, it's very similar to meditation in the fact it's like, just like, focusing more on what you're doing. And for sure, if you're more focused, you're going to be improving. Okay. But sometimes, what's difficult is we don't have all the strategies to do it. So the workshops are a lot like that. It's just like giving you like more tools that you can test out and to see if it works for you or not, you know.
Cool. So a lot of exciting stuff happening in 2019. It's pretty pretty awesome. And I think that's the meditation and mindfulness side, like definitely something I could use some help with for sure.
Yeah.
I always find it really interesting to just see how that works. Like even in Boston 2017 when I went, Lululemon did a big thing for us and brought us down there in our first race. But one of the speakers that we got to talk to is George Mumford.
Yeah.
And he wrote The Mindful Athlete. And it's an amazing book. But he came and spoke to us about like some of the teams that he worked with, and like the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and all these guys. Like, I'm not a huge basketball guy, but yeah. I know who those guys are.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like the work he did with them. So it makes you realize, like, if professional athletes need help to bring the best out of them, I mean, I could definitely benefit from something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting that like even the best of the best need help that way, you know?
Yeah. And anything that you do, I think, in that direction for your sport, it's going to help you and your life in general, I find. Like, you're just going to be like in any task that you'll be doing afterwards, you know, you're going to be more focused and you're going to become better at that task. And something that took you an hour before, it's going to take you 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because you're just more focused and not just focus on that task, but able to focus. So it's like, I see it a lot in CrossFit. In CrossFit, sometimes we have like very short workouts. So like, let's say like a 5 minutes or less workout. And you see like people like going totally out of like not focus in what they're doing. As soon as I see somebody like in a 5 minute workout that is stopping and going to like take a sip of water and like, okay, you're not gonna die from dehydration in 5 minutes for sure. Like, you took the decision to go like and drink water. You don't really need it, you know? So like your focus was not in the proper location. And once you start like being able to focus on like 2-3 minute workout, you know, even in running, then and be able to like really give it your all in those few minutes, then you grow a lot. Then anything that like requires like 2-3 minutes of concentration, you're able to do it. And it can be like writing an email. It can be like can be anything.
Yeah, you know? That's super interesting. I was just talking about that with a friend too, and we were saying the same thing. Like, if I put this much focus and energy in my running, and I learn all these lessons running and training and nutrition, and like, you can definitely apply that to relationships. You can apply that to work.
Yeah, relationships
a
lot.
You can apply that to just about everything. You know, a lot of it's patience with our training. And like, you don't just get to be a better runner just like that with a snap of a finger. it takes time, it takes patience, it takes a lot of work and energy and dedication and all this stuff. And if you just change the conversation to the other aspects, it's completely transferable, you know, to like those other things that we were saying, you know, and to just make a more complete life and a more fulfilling life, I think, you know. So I think that's super interesting.
Yeah.
But exactly. Yeah, I just want to thank you so much for coming in today. Like it was awesome, kind of. Yeah, it was good to just talk community and talk about winter running and all these great things. And I really appreciate you coming in on the rundown today.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. And yeah, hope to see you on the leaderboard of
in January.
Yeah. And,
if not at the next run, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, exactly. Take care.
Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. If you're looking for a friendly, fun, and positive run club to join, this group is for you. They meet every Monday at 7 p.m. on the base of Mount Royal. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. Keep track and visit their website, iamarunner.ca, and be sure to follow them on Instagram for more details at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Rundown. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at LaRundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Now take what you've learned and run with it. The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in downtown Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and assisted by Mark Grimberg. Marketing by Jill Garcia, and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.